Concerns over fuel rationing have eased with talks of a ceasefire in the Middle East. But Australians living with a disability are facing a reality where they cannot leave their homes and support workers can't afford to visit. CEO of Women with Disability Australia, Sophie Cusworth, says the rising cost and difficulty accessing fuel is already disproportionately affecting people with a disability.
And then some of the measures that are put in place to provide support, like free public transport, might not benefit everyone in our community where public transport is inaccessible or unavailable. And this has really tangible consequences for people who might need to cancel social and community participation supports or meal deliveries, for example. And at the same time, we know that people with disability are more likely to be on lower incomes. We already disproportionately experience poverty. So there can be really little capacity to kind of absorb these extra costs and increases.
Terry Simons is the CEO of Urala, an NDIS provider across Melbourne and regional Victoria. Powered Media's Emma Myers spoke with Mr. Simons about the looming impact of the fuel crisis on disability support.
The Urala part of our organisation has been providing disability services in Victoria for over 100 years, and we support somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 people in Victoria with disabilities to live the best life they can.
How is the current fuel crisis impacting on people with disability?
I might actually start with the impact on our staff, the disability support workers that we employ. So our staff do a lot of travel for their job. They're a very mobile workforce. We did research a number of years ago, which found that next to mining, the disability workforce do the longest commuting of any workforce in Australia. And that's easy to explain because they spend a lot of their time travelling to the houses where people with disabilities live and supporting them then to go out and enjoy life in the community. But because they're very home-based in their work, they do a lot of commuting. So when the fuel price increases, the costs for our workers go up as well. And that leads to a few things. It means that workers' pressure on their own cost of living increases, and for some, that might mean eventually they question their line of work. Now, that hasn't happened yet for our staff, but we've heard of disability workers in smaller agencies who are rethinking their career decisions and thinking about jobs closer to home. And that will leave people with disabilities without needed supports. Even for our staff, they sometimes do a relatively short shift working with one participant in one location, and then they might travel to do a short shift somewhere else. So they're doing a lot of travel across the day for different people with disabilities within the one day and doing small shifts. These are sometimes called short shifts or broken shifts. Now, if they're thinking about how to reduce their travel costs, they might be looking for longer shifts, which means they might turn down work for a few hours with someone, perhaps helping them do the shopping or helping them go out and connect with families or friends in order to pick up a longer shift somewhere else where they've only got to travel once at the beginning of the day and once at the end of the day. So it's going to impact particularly on those workers who do those shorter shifts. And those shorter shifts are important because they reflect what people need. People with disabilities don't want someone hanging around in their house for 8 hours a day just because it minimises their travel time. They only want someone there for when they need them. So then if I think about the impact on people with disabilities that we support, it might mean that some of the agencies they rely on don't turn up or are unable to provide the supports they need. So for example, most of the people we support don't only get their supports from our organisation. They've got multiple organisations supporting them, and we might provide support, for example, overnight when they're at home, and perhaps to get them moving in the morning, help them with their meals, and then they expect to go out during the day. But if their support workers who are supporting them to go out during the day don't turn up, and these might be from a smaller agency, then they're going to miss out on that opportunity to access the community. And that's both a human rights issue, but it's also a health issue, because sometimes that support is needed to get to medical appointments. It might be therapists, perhaps small business therapists that are coming to the house to provide needed physical or other therapy. There's also the health impact of isolation.